Joining you once again on this Wednesday morning, January 24th, you are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. You also may be aware that you're only able to hear us over the internet right now, so those of you listening online, special welcome to you. This is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the gaming industry. Broadcasting live from the KCPR studios on the Cal Poly campus in San Luis Obispo, California. My name's Justin. If you haven't heard this show before, we're going to be here for an hour till 11 o'clock discussing all things gaming. We got news, we got music, we got the usual. I do want to have a discussion about the Nintendo Wii because there have been some interesting developments about its release list for the first 3 months of this year. I don't know if we'll get around to that because Dave Hampton is conspicuously absent right now. I can't say for sure whether he'll show up or not today. Hopefully. Love having Dave on the show. But if for some reason he is out of commission today, it'll be just me till 11 o'clock, but that's alright. I'll try and keep things interesting for you. I know Dave is really the major star of this show anyways, but we'll take bets. If you think that Dave will show up, I'm willing to put some money on the line and say that Dave Hampton will be here today. And if you don't think so, then you can shoot us an email. This show has an email address open for anything. The inbox, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Open to anything, actually. Not just, you know, if you want to bet against me. Although you might want to because I am notoriously bad. I don't bet often because I am a huge second guesser. Even though I may feel really good about something going in, you know, put some money down, I always second guess myself. You know, there's always... nothing is ever 100% sure. So, at times, you know, even if it's like 98%, there's still always that 2%. And I always, you know, I worry about that. Am I going to be today? Is today going to be the day that the 2% wins? Not a good bettor. Not me. So, but, you know, if you want free money, that's a good invitation, you know? Put some money down, whether Dave Hampton shows up. One would think that I would know best if Dave is going to come. And you're probably right, I would know best, but today I honestly have no idea, so your guess is as good as mine. You have a 50-50 chance, because he either comes or he doesn't. So, anyway, once again, you just lost some money. If you bet that Dave Hampton wouldn't show up, you lost some money, because he is here right now. Oh, thank you, Dave, you made me a fictitiously rich man. I will get him in here just as soon as I can, but let me just preview the show for you coming up today. We got some, I want to talk about the Wii, and now that Dave's here, we definitely can have this discussion about the Nintendo Wii. I want to talk about, World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade, and just the obscene, like, sales numbers that it achieved when it came out last week. Just unbelievable. And, you got to feed the addiction, you know, the worldwide addiction to World of Warcraft. And also some games that came out today, as well as some stuff to look forward to on the Xbox, or, well, yeah, look forward to on the Xbox Live Arcade. And, I have a story about, addiction and the loss of the human soul for you this week about a certain game on Xbox Live Arcade that we will get around to a little bit later on. So that's what you got to look forward to. Once again, if you want to email the show, press start kcpr at gmail.com. And also, the podcast. If you want to listen to this show after the fact, you want to download it, you want to have a copy for yourself, or you want to refer it to a friend, go ahead and check that out at pressstart.thefighting.org. That's where you can subscribe to the podcast, leave comments about the show. You know, we like to have some discussion going on there. And want to just give a quick shout-out to Watkinsies, who chimed in on last week's show. It is our first show back from the winter break, so thanks, Watkinsies, for listening. Hope you listen again this week. And once again, pressstart.thefighting.org. When we come back, Dave Hampton and myself will get into the show. In the meantime, we're going to take a music break. You're listening to Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM.
Thank you.
That was from one of my favorite soundtracks from The Last Generation. It's by Jesper Kidd. He's a pretty famous composer. You may know him off the Hitman games. He did the music for all the Hitman stuff.
Oh, that guy. You know, I actually haven't played those games, but
yeah,
yeah, I hear they're really good.
Yeah, no, he's that composer, and he also did the soundtrack for Robotech Invasion, which came out, you know, a couple of years ago. And if you know me pretty well, you know that I am like the biggest Robotech fanboy junkie on the face of the earth. I don't own a lot of like the old toys and stuff because I wasn't introduced to Robotech until like the early to mid 90s. But I mean, I own like all the novels. I own the DVD collection. I own some of the toys and stuff like that. I am just a huge nerdly Robotech fan. But that was off Robotech Invasion. I bought all the games, even the Game Boy Advance one, which is like a side-scrolling shooter, which you can beat in like 45 minutes, and it's like not that good.
Hey, you could beat Gungrave in an hour 20, and I keep replaying that.
Yeah. Well, that's also, you know, if a game is short, you could play it a lot, you know, and whatnot. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love Robotech. So that was off Robotech Invasion. It was called Hymn of the Wasteland. And
I can tell you guys how much he loves Robotech. He's the only guy I know who likes Robotech more than Macross.
Yep. Yeah. What can I say? And I think a lot of that has to do with reading the novels before, you know, finding out that Macross was like its own separate thing.
If you guys don't know how significant that is, go look up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
No, I probably get burned at the stake in some circles for that. But but Robotech Invasion, I picked it up because it was a Robotech game. It's actually a very decent first-person shooter. Very very nice-looking game. Pretty well put together. Had some cool where you could like transform your like guy into like this motorcycle thing and like ride around the levels and then like transform and like have your gun. It was a really, really well designed game. It didn't sell very well. It didn't get very good reviews, which, you know, I guess you have to be a Robotech fan to appreciate it. But the one thing that I think this game did better than almost any other game last generation was the soundtrack. It is unbelievably good. Unbelievable. Jesper Kidd did an amazing job. And you can tell that pretty much all of the development budget went into the soundtrack. And it just shows. It's really great. And it really adds a lot to the game. So,
accomplished guy. I've heard his name just outside of you, actually. Didn't he do some concert somewhere, something like that? He's significant
yeah.
enough that his name is getting passed around the internet. So
yeah, yeah. He's fairly prolific. So good stuff. All right.
So anyway, those of you guys who were betting money that I wasn't going to come in, I found your quarter on the way in.
Oh,
so,
oh.
You lost 25 cents, and I've got it now.
Yoink!
It's on the ground at the studio.
Hooray! Now
thank
I
you.
Can.
Yeah, it's mine.
Okay, sorry.
So hello.
So hi. So how's it going, dude?
It's going pretty well. I think I'm coming down with a cold, but whatever.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay. Well, just try to, you know, not sneeze anything on me.
Yeah, I've got my own mic over here. It's all right.
Yeah. I won't be using that one ever again, that's for sure. No offense against you or anything.
Oh, no.
I just hate sick people. That's right. I hate them. I hate sick people. I don't dislike them. I don't avoid them. I have a strong, burning dislike.
I think I'm being typecast.
Yeah. We'll typecast you as the sick radio co-host.
All right.
Okay. I think I did fairly well there. You know?
Yeah, I think yeah. It's been established.
Speaking real quick, before, you know, I know this show is about games and everything, but I just want to mention last week I heard, like, the greatest news of my life, and it has to do with casting, kind of. So have you ever read A Song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin?
I have not.
Okay, have you heard about it?
A friend of mine really likes it.
Okay, yeah, it's probably the greatest, like, series of books, like, of any genre that I've ever read. He has just a wonderful knack for writing. In any case, I read them all over the summer. They sucked up my life, pretty much. Great, amazing books. But HBO announced that they're going to be doing a TV series out of them.
Oh, very nice.
And I just, like, went ballistic with excitement. Oh, best news I've heard in such a long time.
I'm trying to imagine what ballistic with excitement looks like.
I imagine
it would be pretty funny if you were playing your Wii at the time, and you're already waving the controller around, and all of a sudden you're spinning around like the Tasmanian devil. Like smashing into walls and stuff like that. Going, yee!
Causing more Wii-related injuries.
Yeah.
Injuries.
Oh, clever.
Oh, yes.
Point for you. Man, you beat me to the pun on this show. That's Rare.
No, Rare is actually a developer based in the United Kingdom that made Viva Pinata.
All right, fair
enough. And GoldenEye and all those games. So, enough with the bad jokes. Let's go right into the news.
I'm losing.
You are losing. Let's go right into the news. All right, so I mentioned World of Warcraft Burning Crusade, first expansion for the Stealer of Men's Lives and Souls. You may have heard of the game. I'm not quite sure. You know, World of Warcraft, you know. Anyways, kind of ubiquitous, the MMORPG right about now.
I'm the only one in my house that doesn't play it.
And I bet you, well, you're graduated now, so you don't have to worry about this anymore, but I bet you got the most schoolwork done because you didn't play it.
Maybe. I felt like I did.
That's good, see?
We'll see. I don't know. One of those guys is a pretty hard worker. But
in any case, last Wednesday midnight, so really Tuesday night, but Wednesday morning, I guess, midnight launch of World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade, okay? So the original World of Warcraft has 8 million subscribers around the world. Burning Crusade sold 2.4 million copies the very first day.
Wow, like outside of gold farmers?
Well, I don't know if they, I don't think they distinguish.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, 2.4 million copies of the game in a single day? I mean, those are like Halo-like numbers.
It's Halo 2 number. I think Halo 2 sold 2.5 million?
Something.
I mean, that's yeah. pretty up there.
Unbelievable. That's, I mean, you look at it, that's a quarter of, a little more than a quarter of current people who, like, play it. But that's a good, like, Blizzard. I mean, that is a good rate of people.
That's a good rate of income. Holy crud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a good retainment number, too, when you think about this many people are playing, this many people bought the expansion.
That's true. And that's how many people bought the expansion in the first week.
First day.
Oh, right, right, right. First day.
I mean, by now, the numbers are probably... Oh, man. Here's some statistics for you, okay? 1.2 million. Okay, so there's 2 million people... who play in the U.S., play WoW. 1.2 million of those people bought the Burning Crusade. So there's only 800,000 people out there in this country that didn't get it.
I never thought I'd hear the phrase, like, there's only 800,000 who didn't.
Well, it's so prolific. Such a prolific game.
But it's actually, like, it is significant here. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Check this out. In Europe, 1.1 million copies, which is... Okay, 1.1 million copies of the Burning Crusade... sold, and in Europe, 1.5 million people play the game. So only 400,000 people didn't buy the expansion. Okay.
Okay. Oh, what are you reading?
Okay. Within 24 hours of the Burning Crusade's launch, 1.7 million players had already like played it. You know, up after buying it, some guy from France. In the first 24 hours after the game release, had already hit the level cap, which is level 70, which was like, it was like a day and a couple hours.
In France, of all places.
In France.
I mean, France has some hardcore computer folk over there. Their demo scene people and their tracking musicians, notably, are very well known. But I've never known them to be a crazy video game place.
I know, yeah. But can you imagine, like, the game coming out? Can you imagine, like, being that guy and, like, I can't wait for the Burning Crusade. I can't wait for the Burning Crusade. You go, you get it, you go home, and you don't sleep for 28 hours because you're busy trying to gain 20 levels.
Actually, I figure there's probably thousands of people who did that.
It is unbelievable. I mean, so fast. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable to me. It's like the episode of South Park where all they do is kill boars in World of Warcraft to, like, get to level whatever.
You don't think that's what he did,
do you? Yeah, I know, but I think it's pretty funny.
Maybe he did, and then he's going to be like, man, should I publish this? If I do, it'll be in French.
Blizzard?
Nobody will know.
Well, I will, because I speak French.
Oh, you do? That's right. You're half Canadian.
Well, I wait. I'm half Canadian in spirit, which is not to say my spirit is half Canadian. In any case... Burning Crusade, I think you could consider it a success.
It's definitely a success.
Yeah.
All of you guys out there who were not making MMOs, all of you game developer companies, are probably kicking yourselves right now.
Yeah. You know the joke, like, oh, the Nintendo DS, it prints money.
It does.
You know? Okay, Blizzard right now is probably thinking the same thing. Oh, the Burning Crusade, it prints money. I mean, it's like having your own mint, like, right in your office that just, like, spits out dollar bills.
The overhead for that has to be crazy with all the server... costs and admins and people you have to hire, but
when you think about 8 million people paying X number of dollars a month in addition to paying for the game, I think it far outweighs. I think their profits are just sky high.
Now here's an interesting situation. The MMO market, particularly WoW, is saturated with WoW. And you're not going to have, like, you know, when a first-person shooter came out, and that was a big deal, like, 10 years ago, everybody started making first-person shooters. A lot of people start making MMOs, but the only place that a huge number of MMOs is successful is Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, it's like, well, the market only has one. I said, yeah, sure, all of you dev teams who didn't make one are probably going, like, why? Why didn't we? But really, if you try to make one now, there's nothing you could do. You have the 800-pound gorilla sitting in the corner. It's a, I don't know, the market dynamic seems like it'd be different. Yet, we still hear about new MMOs all the time.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of going through that phase where, like, Counter-Strike was, like, the ultimate first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone tried to kind of emulate that.
But everybody played that online, then they played other things offline. And then they'd finish the other things and go on to something else. Not a lot of people finish WoW.
Well, it's because you can't really technically finish it. I mean, yeah. MMOs don't really have an end, per se.
Well, I mean, I guess I mean by finish it as opposed to beat it.
Yeah.
You are done with it. You have had your fun. Video games, you know, I keep saying, are basically elaborate toys. And as toys, they are something you play with. They're something you have fun with. And when you are not enjoying it anymore, you'll move on to something else, whether or not you finish the so-called game. It's the sort of thing where, you know, World of Warcraft, you can play it until you've hit your level cap. You know, maybe you cap out at 30, but at that point, that's not fun anymore. You can start a new character. You can go find a new game.
Very correct. Yeah. I can see. I agree with you. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Not really controversial, but...
Yeah, but I do agree with what you're saying, and I think it's, you know, fairly logical.
So, yeah, video games. What the heck?
Yeah, and World of Warcraft just, like, just blazing a trail, excuse the pun, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Burning Crusade. Just, yeah, wow. Great, a great, great success for Blizzard. In other news not related to MMOs, we got a couple of tidbits here.
In other news, nobody's playing any other video games this week. Burning Crusade released, and everybody else is either playing it or sitting in line waiting for more copies to come in.
Or waiting for a Wii.
That's all, you guys. See you next week.
Game over. No, well, I am playing something this week that's not World of Warcraft.
What's that?
It's got my soul chained into the wall. We'll get to that, I think, a little bit later.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, but something to look forward to. I close my eyes and I see the game and I can't stop thinking about it. So if you have any guesses, I'd love to hear what you have to think.
The last time anybody said that about a game was Guitar Hero, and before that it was Dance Dance Revolution.
Okay. Well, it is kind of a music game.
All right.
So you're close. All right. We'll talk about that a little later. A couple of tidbits here real quick. Keiji Inafune, who you may know, he was the guy who developed Dead Rising, Lost Planet, Mega Man.
You know, that guy's name doesn't get around that much. I was really surprised. They mentioned it. I had no idea who it was. Then they said, oh, yeah, Mega Man.
Mega Man.
And I said, oh, the Mega Man guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Keiji Inafune. Okay, well, you know, if you've ever played a Mega Man game, he's the man responsible. He's working on a new Wii game right now. No word on what it's going to be, but he let it slip in an interview. And so, got that to look forward to. The Godfather of Mega Man working on the Wii.
Excellent.
Now let's switch platforms here and go to the PlayStation Portable. You may know, we talked about this, that Final Fantasy Tactics is getting a PSP remake. It's called Final Fantasy Tactics: The Lion War. And of course, there is going to be a new job class.
Lion?
That would be cool. But the new job class is actually going to be the Dark Knight.
Mm.
So that wasn't in the original game. They're adding that.
I have Meta Knight from Kirby.
That would be very distinct. You know, your little, like, round sprite
Final Fantasy
guy.
Meta Knight. I'd play that.
Can't wait to use Meta Knight in the new Smash Brothers, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. But the other surprise about Final Fantasy Tactics: The Lion War is that if you've played Final Fantasy XII, you may know that there's a guy named Balthier in the game. He's sort of like everyone's favorite character from Final Fantasy XII. He's sort of the dashing air sky pirate, you know, swashbuckling kind of British guy with the gun. He's cool. Cool guy. He's going to be in Final Fantasy Tactics: The Lion War.
Really?
He's being put into the game, and it's not just like a bonus character. He's actually going to have some part of the story.
So the story changes too.
A little bit, yes.
Oh.
So
cool. There
is some interesting shifting going on. And, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics purists are a little upset about this, but...
Final Fantasy Tactics purists can play it on the original system. They
yes.
clearly already have it on.
Yes.
Everybody else can enjoy the new one. They have options.
And what's cool about this game is that they've added these cool animated cutscenes. They just look so beautiful. They're like all hand drawn. It's sort of like someone did a watercolor.
Oh, good!
It's
Those
really
are awesome.
Really good looking. And if you've ever played Stella Deus,
I've seen it.
Strategy RPG. It looks kind of. It's got that same kind of like 3D, like, it looks like someone took, like, a 2D image that was drawn, you know, by hand, and then, like, made it 3D. It's got that sort of, like, it's not cel-shaded, but it's not 3D. It's kind of a mix of in between, but it looks really good.
Is it a 3D model or is it a 2D sprite?
I can't tell.
Okay.
I think
Stella Deus had sprites.
Well, for main battle, but the cutscenes.
Oh, okay, sure. Cutscenes.
Cutscenes are, like, it's hard to tell, like, how it is. It looks like someone drew a 3D object. So, it looks beautiful. Cool. If you get a chance to check it out. So now we'll switch from the PSP. Now we'll go to the Xbox 360.
Oh, I thought you were going to say DS.
No.
You surprised me.
I did. The Xbox 360. First of all, Microsoft, you may know that. Remember Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
I do.
Coming out on Xbox Live Arcade.
I'm excited about that. I've never actually legitimately purchased that game.
Yeah.
I played my friend's copy for a while. And
I never even played it.
Yeah, it's great. It's like the GBA Castlevanias with better graphics.
Yeah. Well, it's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade come, I think, March. But the problem was that the game couldn't be compressed to fit the 50 megabyte limit that Microsoft had imposed on all Xbox Arcade
Limit's
games.
Silly anyway. They're
it
just
is.
Gonna release another memory card.
Well, they
or
are.
Like that. Oh, okay.
It's already on the EB Games website.
You heard it here first.
256 megabyte memory unit for the Xbox 360. But what this means is Symphony of the Night was gonna be like a special exception to the rule. Okay. Here's what's crazy. Konami are like masters of compression. The game is 96 megabytes all told on Xbox Live Arcade. That's how large the download's going to be.
Hmm. Okay, sure. Yeah, I can see that.
That's incredible. 96 megabytes for Symphony of the Night. I mean, I'm sure that game was, I mean, CDs can hold 700 megabytes, so I'm sure that game was at least over 100.
You know, if I recall correctly, the CD wasn't that big and most of it was audio. And so all they have to do is compress the audio down to some lossy format. So it takes, you know, 2-3 megs a track. And the rest of the game didn't have, I'm sure it has some great artwork in it, but it only had so much. The rest was code. Code is generally small.
Well, pretty interesting that they managed to shrink it. But it doesn't even matter anymore. That's irrelevant because Microsoft has upped the limit to Xbox Live Arcade games to 250 megabytes.
There you go.
And even they've said that some games with special permission can be as high as 450 megabytes.
You know, I really want to see that new new treasure game. Or even the old ones, Ikaruga, Radiant Silvergun, I've always wanted to play. Just never could track down a copy of it. Because it's like
rare
$300
game.
On eBay.
Very rare game. But yeah, if you cross your fingers, you might get lucky. The one thing, I think what this means, I think the reason this happened is because of the upcoming release of Worms HD, which is going to be Xbox Live. Yes, Xbox Live Worms game. I am purchasing that day one.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, Worms is just a great game. But
I don't
anyway,
even care if it's a mediocre Worms game. It's still that kind of game, which
I
love.
Team 17, who's been doing the Worms forever, is developing it. And it's going to be 2D, old school classic Worms style.
Yeah.
But it's going to be high definition visuals, like all the backgrounds and the Worms and whatnot.
Good, good.
And it's going to be able to play over Xbox Live. That's a great thing. I think the reason that they raised the size is because I was reading an interview, or actually it was on the Team 17 forums. The developers were saying that they were having like to do a lot of compression for the game, and that it was going to be a challenge to get it under 50 megabytes. So I think Microsoft recognizes that game's going to be a big hit, and so they decided, hey, look, we've already got Castlevania. Worms is coming out. Let's just raise the limit, and this will open some doors for people.
That's great.
Yeah, and besides, my personal opinion, if you bought the core system anyways, you're an idiot.
Now, if you bought the core system anyways, you're on a budget, and you can get the hard drive later when you've saved up a bit more money.
But why? What's the point of having an Xbox 360 if you can't even save games?
If you really want the 360, like, right then, and you're on the budget, I almost got the core system myself because I was short on cash.
I'm glad.
I just waited up a little bit and got the other because I'm pretty used to waiting for stuff like games. It doesn't bother me.
It just doesn't make any monetary sense. You buy the core system. You don't even get a wireless controller. You don't get the HD cable, AV cables. You don't get the hard drive. By the time you buy anything so you can save a game that you may have purchased, you're already almost halfway to getting the hard drive anyway. You might as well just pick up the premium pack, get the headphones, you get the free Xbox Live trial, you get, you know.
Yeah.
The
premium is a much better pack for the money. But yeah, you know, I kind of see the people who are on the tight budget, where 400 is just a bit too much, but 300 is okay, probably don't have an HD screen. They don't need the big cable.
Yeah, but they'll need to save their games on something.
Yeah, that actually is trouble. There's third-party memory cards, aren't they?
Well,
those
yeah,
are usually
but
really cheap. That's what those people end up going for.
You might, I mean, it just doesn't make economic sense to me, really.
No, it doesn't. What you're paying for is the convenience of getting the machine earlier than you could comfortably otherwise.
Yeah. But that's good.
That's the same people, you know, same idea as credit. You're paying money to get stuff early, which is in the business world a very good thing, and in the personal finance world generally a good thing, unless you abuse it in either situation, at which point you're hosed.
It's also a very good thing that the Xbox Live Arcade size went up, because now people who are into the Xbox Live Arcade can, you know, look forward to some good quality games.
I play more Live Arcade than I play, you know, legit games. I don't know, not legit, but I guess commercial disc games.
I have been doing that as well.
Oh, and have you heard anything? And maybe this is coming up in the news, but I heard this the other day on Orange Lounge Radio. Apparently Psycho No Ronde is coming out in March. Is that in the U.S.?
I have no idea what that game is.
Okay, well, for starters, it's awesome. It's basically a, you know, it's a shoot-'em-up, one of those, like, Danmaku games where you have the million bullets coming at you. You're like, what do I do?
The ones where you have to, like, squeeze your ship through Limnero.
Exactly. Except it's competitive. It plays like a fighting game. There are two ships, and you are producing the bullets. The other person has to dodge. Your special moves are things like different kinds of attacks and turning into a boss. The videos of this game are crazy.
That's fun.
I'm looking forward to this.
Is it coming to the XBLA?
In Japan, I knew it was. We're all mad that it didn't have a Dreamcast port because it runs on Dreamcast hardware in the arcade, the Naomi boards. But yeah, we were sitting there. Why won't they translate this to the United States? Give it to us.
They might. I'm not a big fan of those games. I just find like the amount of practice and time you have to put in to memorize, like, you know, where to put the ship so you don't die. I don't like that.
It appeals to a very particular kind of gamer. But in this one, you can't memorize it because your opponent's going to try to mess you up anyway.
Right. That's a pretty cool idea. I like that. I like that style.
So anyway, fingers crossed. If anybody knows anything about this, please email the show, because I glanced around online and couldn't find anything. But then again, Orange Lounge has this thing where they keep finding out about stuff early, because one of their guys works somewhere where apparently he learned all kinds of secrets. So, I don't know.
PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. That's the email address. One more thing before we take another music break. This week, Xbox Live Arcade getting some new Lumines Live packs. You can get a Versus pack. Versus CPU pack. You can play against the computer. It's going to be 100 Microsoft points until February 21st, which is a great deal. It's like, you know, pocket change, really. There's also a puzzle mission pack, 90 new puzzles, 40 new missions, which is a lot of content. That one's also 100 Microsoft points until February 21st. Also a great deal. It's 130 stages of brand new content for change. And you also, if you have Xbox Live Gold, you can get a new skin, which is a song produced by Tetsuya Mizuguchi called Heavenly Star. That'll be free.
Free if you have gold.
Yeah, if you have gold. So great deal there. All these come out today, new editions for Lumines Live.
It's almost like it's a whole game now.
Pretty much.
I'm still bitter.
Yeah, I know you are, Dave. But I took the plunge last week when I heard about this, and I'm like, this is a good time as ever, because I've always wanted to play Lumines. I never got the chance because, just for one reason or another, I never had a system it came out on, but I always heard great things about Lumines, how it was like a great puzzle game. Riot is like the best new puzzle game, even better than Meteos in some way. So I took the plunge last week. I picked up Lumines Live. I got the base pack and I got the core set, or the base pack and the advanced pack. I was like, I need a freaking intervention now. My soul. I played it so much, okay? I played it so much that I'm seeing falling block patterns everywhere. Like, I close my eyes and all I can see are falling patterns of colored blocks. I was in class on Monday, and there's a big periodic table of the elements on the wall in class, and I just kept thinking, like, how can I arrange the squares in the periodic table to, like, go away when the line goes across? Like,
that's funny.
Lumines is, I haven't felt this way about a puzzle game where I just like want to play it all the time and like think about it when I'm not playing it since like Puzzle Fighter.
I haven't felt this way in so long.
I haven't felt this.
We are destined to be together.
I feel I am in love. I'm in love with Lumines. It is like great. It is a great puzzle game. I can't believe. I mean, I think it appeals to that part of me that just like wants to do creative things and like find patterns and stuff like that. But it's also got music to go with it. And so I get into like this zone where I just like everything goes away and I am like one with the blocks and the music and forming squares that will get destroyed.
That game and I have this weird relationship. At first, I really, you know, just thought it was going to be the greatest thing ever. And the more I've played a bit of it, the more I realize it appeals to the side of me that wants to yell and curse at it because I'm really bad at it.
Yeah, well, you just got to practice.
I have this trouble getting into it. I'm just like, all right, this is fun, but I'm kind of done now.
I know some people are like that, but for me, it's just like instantly. It was just like there's music going on and there's colors and like falling blocks. And I don't know. There's just something about it that it just like makes me like – get into it. I'm in the zone. Like the other day I was playing and, you know, I'm in the zone and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing. So I have to pause the game and like I had a high score going and I answer the phone, blah, blah, blah. I hang up and I try to go back to playing Lumines and I'm like totally thrown off and I ended up losing pretty quick after that.
Oh no.
But it's just like this, that sense of like just being somewhere else, not even being in your own body. It's very zen-like, I suppose.
You just kind of like zone out and play it.
Yeah.
It's like Rez.
Yeah, it is. And I was just
same guy.
Same guy, and it's got that Rez vibe to it because it's got the music.
Yeah, you said Rez vibe. I get it.
It's got the music combined. I'm going to punch you. It's got the music combined with the, with the puzzle aspects. I don't know. A great game. I'm really happy I picked it up. Very justifiable purchase. And now today we've got some new content for it, so that's good. I haven't even really touched the verses or mission mode really yet because I've been so focused on getting a new high score for myself. So, but it's just unbelievable, and I wholeheartedly recommend that if you haven't played Lumines, you need to have that experience because it is wonderful.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah.
$15. Huh? That's the thing that threw me off is it was $15.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's the cheapest version of Lumines that exists because unless you own a PSP, but
unless
PSP.
Unless you own the only other system that it's out on, it's the cheapest version.
Well, even if you do, yeah. Well, but check this out. If you own a PSP, the original Lumines is still the same price. It's a little bit more, actually.
Isn't it $20 new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, but Lumines Live is 1,200 points.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more than that.
No. Well, if you want to get the advanced pack, that's 600 points. Mm-hmm. So, but even then, that's still pretty good. And if you download the stuff today, that's in total to get everything Lumines Live has right now, 2,000 points. That's still cheaper than if I was going to go out and buy a PSP to play Lumines. Mm-hmm. And it's cheaper than Lumines 2. It's also cheaper next month. Lumines Plus comes out for the PS2, which is basically a PS2 port of the original. It's still cheaper than that game.
Gotcha.
So Lumines Live if you want to get your Lumines kick, cheapest way to do it is Lumines Live.
I guess so. Now, this is all MSRP. We certainly aren't trying to advertise for anybody,
yeah,
but we felt it was really relevant to this particular discussion. So there you have it.
But if you want Lumines, Dave, I don't know if you've, I know you've played it before, obviously.
I have played it. Well, see, my roommate has it on the PSP.
Okay.
So I played it there for a while, and it was fun. But honestly, I got the same vibe from it that I got from a lot of music games, which are really more my forte. So I think I'm just outside their target.
Okay. Hey, some people are like that. But
it is a good game. I objectively can identify it as a good game. On paper, you know, I can say it's awesome. Which is weird because on paper seemingly never correlates with anything anymore. On paper, I hate Phantasy Star. When I'm playing it, I love it.
Phantasy Star Universe?
All of the Phantasy Stars.
Everyone.
If you describe to me how that game works, I'll tell you that's a terrible game.
PSO is the same way. When you look at it, that game like sucks. But when you play it, it's just like can't stop.
I can't stop playing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm trying to figure out what it is about that.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break right now, get a breather, and then we're going to talk. We're going to have a discussion, Dave, about the Nintendo Wii based on some news that came out yesterday and sort of based on what's happened to the Wii since launch or how it's come along, how it's progressed, or some might think it's regressed, but
okay.
We will see. In the meantime, here is another track off of the Robotech Invasion OST. Same guy, Jesper Kids, called Nighttime in the Forest. We will return, so stick around.
Press.
This is Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. So we got about 15 minutes left or so. I want to talk about the Nintendo Wii, and I've wanted to have this discussion since December. But I think it's more appropriate now. The Wii's been out for a couple months. You know, you can't find it anywhere. People are buying it up. Still lines to get it when the shipments come in. People are buying it up like it's going out of style.
I heard that WarioWare had a joke about, no, we don't have that, but if you get in line, so I'm sure some stores might get them in stock.
That's the newest, A game that came out, WarioWare Smooth Moves. Mm-hmm.
The only 12-player multiplayer game I know of.
Yeah.
Off one controller.
Pretty cool. But I want to have this discussion because yesterday, Nintendo announced its Q1 lineup, which means games between now and the end of March that are going to be coming out for the Nintendo Wii.
Okay? The Wii Lease schedule.
The Wii Lease schedule, yes. Thank you, Dave. So let's talk about that. We've got Wii Play, comes out on Valentine's Day. Comes with a Wiimote. It's basically like Wii Sports Junior.
Whose cruel idea was it to release a hot video game on Valentine's Day where all the guys are going to disappear, all the nerd guys playing games, and all their girlfriends are going to just like...
Well, you figure... Here's why. I think Nintendo realized that hardcore Nintendo fans, it's impossible for them to get girlfriends. So, yeah, that's right. I freaking went there, Nintendo fans. I don't want to generalize here, but in the past couple of months, I've met the most annoying people that I've met in my life have been, like, hardcore Nintendo fans.
Weren't you a hardcore Nintendo fan?
No.
Oh, okay.
Never.
I thought you said you were.
I mean, like, maybe when I was, like, 10.
I thought you said it, like, last month.
That I was a hardcore Nintendo fan?
Yeah, I thought you described yourself as one.
No, not me. It wasn't me. Definitely wasn't me, let me tell you.
Somebody else in here.
Yeah, it had to have been. Okay, so, you know, there are probably some good ones out there. In fact, I know there are some good ones out there who, you know, they love Nintendo, loyal, and, you know. But for every one of those, there's, like, five, like, really annoying people that I just want to be like, get out of my earth.
I see that with everything, though. Anything that people can take an allegiance with, they will. Before we had, you know, computers and games, we had people doing it with models of cars. And before that, I'm sure there was, you know, make a model of, I don't know, horse.
Yeah, well... I know. I you know, it's not true about every Nintendo fan. It just seems like in the last couple of months since the Wii came out, they've, like, crawled out of the woodwork, you know? Like, you know, they've come out. They're like, oh, the Wii is here. It's going to save the gaming industry. And you know...
It makes toast.
It prints money. It makes toast. It, you know? Wii Connect 24. That's so cool. So, blue light.
Yeah, what was up with that blue light thing? Everybody was talking about the blue light.
I don't know.
It turns on when you have a message. It turns off when you don't. Everyone's talking about how can we hack it to turn on all the time.
Rabbit. It's a freaking blue LED. I don't know.
I wanted to make it send the Morse code that showed what was in the message.
That's cool.
That would have been useful to me. Yeah. I can read that. Sort of.
So you don't have to get up from the couch.
Yeah. That's right. I'm that lazy. Anyway, okay, let's continue.
Yeah, so okay, anyway.
Sleeping on the couch on Valentine's Day. What's the next game?
Next game, got March 27th, you got Disney's Meet the Robinsons, which I know a lot of people are going to want. March is going to see Bust a Move Bash, which is really the only like original game coming out in the next 3 months. Prince of Persia Rival Swords, which is a port of The Two Thrones, I believe,
okay.
From the PS2. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which people are freaking out over because it's really like the only like good game that looks like it's going to be a good game coming out.
And the Turtles movie's coming out, so all the Turtles fans are coming back out.
That's true. Bionicle Heroes, Blazing Angels, which is Squadrons of World War II, which is a flight game from Ubisoft. Tiger Woods, SSX Blur, which also looks pretty decent. The Godfather, Black Hand Edition, which is from EA. Medal of Honor Vanguard. And Sonic and the Secret Rings, which also...
Sonic and the Secret Rings.
That one looks
so
pretty
Sega's
good.
Like, well, we ticked them off pretty bad with Sonic 360. Let's make a game where all the rings are invisible now.
Well, I think the coolest part about Sonic and the Secret Rings is that you don't actually have to move Sonic. He runs by himself, and you just use the remote to, like, navigate him.
That could
stuff.
Actually be really fun or not worth $50.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, definitely. But that's it. That's what's coming out until the end of March for the Nintendo Wii. You'll notice... No Metroid Prime 3.
Yeah. There's no A-list game.
No Mario Galaxy. No Smash Brothers. No, the only Nintendo published
copies of Wii Play because it comes with a controller.
Yeah.
And right now those things are gold.
But I mean, people are, but see, that's kind of sad when people are buying the game, not for the game, but for what it comes with. Like,
oh,
the
you mean like Crackdown, how it came with a Halo 3?
Yeah, exactly.
Invite, like half again.
Exactly.
The number of sales.
Exactly. Like yeah. Exactly like Crackdown.
Nintendo should ship Halo 3 invites with new Nintendo games.
But the point I want to make here is that there's no good games coming out Q1, okay? We've got, you know, you've got Zelda, you got Trauma Center, and if you like Wii Sports, that comes with the system. But really, Zelda and Trauma Center, both one-player games, you know, they're good, they're great games in their own right, but there's nothing. Where is the software? I mean, every console goes through a phase where it's thirsty for quality software, but I don't know. I mean, Nintendo, where's Metroid Prime, which is supposedly pretty much done at E3 last year? It was going to come out in March. Remember that? Not coming out in March.
Really?
Yeah. So, just huge drought right now. You know, if I owned a Wii, I wouldn't be interested in anything on here. Maybe Sonic, but that's about it.
Bust a Move looks fun. Wii Play actually is something I really want to play.
But do you think it'll be worth the money?
If it's what I think it is, it is. I haven't looked into it too much, but it looks like a whole bunch of remakes of old games to use the new hardware. And, like, Time Crisis 3 and 4 had that, and I absolutely love those. Then they had, you know, a little campaign on the side that was kind of the main game, but you could beat that in an hour. And I enjoyed those. I paid way too much money for those games, but I still thought it was worth it.
It just seems to me, like, I don't know, it just might be my personal taste. But right now, there's nothing on the Wii that interests me.
Well, there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing huge. There's no, you know, again, no A-list title.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Wii and I kind of go back and forth on this, just from a hardware standpoint. On the one hand, I want to love it. I want to declare that, you know, it is the underpowered underdog that is so clever and has so much, you know, heart and soul behind it that it triumphs over the, you know, the huge, monstrous other machines. Like, everybody likes to laugh at Sony right now. So, all right, that's fine. Laugh at Sony. But Microsoft's doing pretty well. And honestly, you know, the Wii is cool. I like it. I would buy one if my roommate didn't already have one. But I keep finding things that drive me nuts about it. Maybe I'm just a nitpicker. But there's latency on the controllers. There's latency on the accelerometers and on the pointers. It turns out the way the accelerometers work is pretty inaccurate because they read acceleration. So if you're holding it in the air, it's 9.8 meters per second squared down. But if you flip the controller upside down, it's 9.8 upwards. So you can't just adjust and say, oh yeah, 9.8. Because then if you just hold the controller upside down stationary, it's going to read a huge acceleration up, or I guess down now. So it turns out the developers are having some trouble making it do what they want. If you swing the controller around and try to get the accelerometers to register, I feel like I have to really zing that thing to get it to go off. Maybe that's just the tolerances the game have, but it drives me nuts. And then there's Microsoft has got this big online thing going on. They've got Xbox Live, they've got the easy connectivity, they've got Live Arcade. Nintendo has the Virtual Console, which is going okay, but old games that I already have cost as much as new Live Arcade games, sometimes more.
Yeah, I can't understand how you could justify, like, A Link to the Past came out this last week for the Virtual Console. You know, many consider it the best Zelda game of all time. Is it really worth it to buy it again? I mean, if you already own it for the Super Nintendo, if you already own it for the Game Boy Advance, I mean, how many times do you want to play? It just seems to me like all the AAA Virtual Console titles, they've already been released a couple times, first of all, but people have already played them enough, that's why they're going to be like AAA titles. But, I mean, I just can't imagine, like, if I owned a Wii, I can't imagine, like, downloading Link to the Past to play it again, because I wouldn't. I can't imagine downloading, like, next week Mario Kart 64 comes out with no online play, I might add, which is kind of disappointing.
Do any of those have online play, though?
No. Not yet. I mean, I would like to see some effort here. I mean, you know, Xbox Live Arcade released Lumines, which is Lumines Live. You know, you could play against people on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got online play. It's basically it's basically the PSP version.
It's also not running an emulator.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I saw that game and I said, whoa, cool. You know, I own it for the Super Nintendo and a couple of my friends own it for the GBA, but I bet about half the people who bought the Wii didn't have it on the Super Nintendo and many of them didn't have it on the GBA, or if they did, they want to play it on the big screen. And, the GBA sales were enough to show that many of the people who had a GBA when that game came out did have a Super Nintendo because it was, you know, that much older. And, you know, they still bought it. Everybody I knew who bought it had it on the Super NES. They wanted to play the GBA version. They wanted to pick it up and have an excuse to play through it again. And I think that is a powerful market force. But anyway, so going back and forth on the Wii. I don't know.
The online service, too, has some – they need to work some stuff out with it. You get some errors sometimes connecting to the shop or to the weather or whatnot.
I think they should just declare, well played, Microsoft.
Yeah.
And just copy them.
Yes, I agree. Out. You know, Xbox Live is the greatest, like, greatest implemented online gaming, like, thing.
More than just a consumer product?
Yeah.
It's a good model of how to take a large number of subscribers from a business and logistics standpoint and figure out a way to make it work cleanly.
Yeah.
Like, you could write academic papers about that. It would probably be pretty well accepted.
And you've also, it's integrated so well. Everything is integrated all together.
Yeah, you have your presence online. Like, that was just a foreign concept until that came out.
Yeah. And it works no matter what game you're playing. It's all tied into the system. It's all, and, you know, it doesn't matter. And, like, people can see what games you're playing. And there's no friend code entering. I don't know. I think, you know, copying down 14-digit codes for every single game you want to play against someone else is, like, ridiculous.
I think I see what they're doing there, and it's okay.
What are they doing?
They're stopping. They want people to only play online who have met in real life, and that's their goal. Is they want this to be a social game.
When your whole online strategy is based around protecting kids from, like, molesters.
No, see, I don't think they're trying to protect kids. I think that's a small element. Yeah, they want to do that, but I think the big deal is they don't want you playing against random people you've never met. They want all of your online experiences to be with people you know. And unfortunately, I still think they kind of dropped the ball on that. I think they could have been cleaner about it. Just make an Xbox Live friends list and just only add the kinds of people, just only be allowed to play with people on your friends list.
Yeah.
That worked just fine.
If you could somehow get rid of the stupid friend code thing, it's such a pain in the rear end to, like, copy down a code. And it's not, if it would be different if it was the same code, like if it was tied to your system somehow and it worked across all games, that would be a different story. But it's a different code for every game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard somewhere that it wasn't on the Wii, but then again, I've never played an online game on the Wii, so I've never met.
Oh, well, let me just say this. Let me preface that by saying that I don't own a Wii either, but that's how I understand the system to work. If I'm wrong, go ahead and correct me on that. Send me an email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. But everything I've heard is it's like the DS friend code kind of the thing, different every game. But I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
Hard.
And I do apologize.
Except that we're recording this, so it's preserved.
If I am wrong, I do apologize. But that is how I understand the way the system works. So,
all right, well, so yeah, we could even just assume it's system specific, and then even then, I still think it's missed it a bit. It just they could do it very easily with friend codes. People trade. I mean, the easiest place to trade a friend code is any place where you can write down numbers, like a message board, with people you've never met.
Yeah.
And so people are just going to bypass it anyway.
It just makes it, like, twice as hard to bypass. I don't know. I just didn't play it. Okay, we're going to continue this discussion next week. And I really want to get into this a little bit deeper. It sucks that we ran out of time, but
that's just how it goes.
Yeah. We're going to get into this more next week, and, you know, we might replay this segment next week, too, just to catch everyone up, because I do know that right now KCPR is only able to be heard on the internet. So, but I do want to talk about this next week, and we will get around to it. But in any case, we are out of time for right now. Thank you for listening. Once again, podcast site, pressstart.thefighting.org. Email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Thanks for showing up, Dave, and getting
thanks a bunch. Sorry I was late.
Fictitious money. Yeah, that's no problem. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Vecino. Game over.